We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Bar Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We are dissecting, like a frog in biology class, this loss.
I never got to do that.
You know, I never did either.
I would never want to do that. I don't like cutting into things.
Yeah.
Does that make me a snowflake or whatever? I don't know. I've never, like, remember.
You won't cut a frog like a real man.
My buddies, when we were at Western, got into this weird stage where the only thing that was ever on our TV, if it wasn't sports, was like the G4 network with Olivia Munn. But they also liked to watch like surgeries for some reason. So I'd come home and it'd be like some guy's brain being operated on. Just never really into that.
What kind of drugs were they on?
Molly? Could I say that on air?
I think that's the answer.
Shrooms?
there you go.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm going to tell you, Woody, just my quick synopsis of this game, and then I want you to jump off that. So I think that this was a bad game, and if they play it again, it's going to have a different result. It certainly turned with those interceptions. I don't like that after the interceptions, the Packers seem to forget how to play football. I think a disturbing trend is these losses with Matt LaFleur do seem similar in that if they get beat up a little bit early to a good team, they are going to kind of throw in the towel. I think there's still some moves that they could have made, should have made that caught up with them. I think this right now where they're at is they're going to beat the bad teams. They're going to lose to the good teams. And this year is going to play out like last year. That's kind of where I'm at today.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to agree on every point, Mark, but that's pretty much how I saw it. You know, a year ago when they went to San Francisco and they lost by 29 points, I don't know about you, but I kind of got the sense that, you know, this team really is 29 points worse than the 49ers. Like that team was a lot better than the Packers. And sure enough, they proved that later in January. I get the Bucs aren't 28 points better than this Packers team. Yesterday, there was some really fluky stuff that happened. And like you said, it was not a great sign that they handled adversity about as poorly as you could possibly handle adversity. I mean, they just disintegrated on both sides of the ball. That's something that can't happen to championship teams. But it's also something that in your fifth game of the year, it's not the worst thing to have that experience and to realize that, hey, everything's not going to go perfect all the time. And you have to be mentally stronger than what you showcased yesterday. To me, it's the problem isn't what happened yesterday. The problem would be if they didn't respond well from it. And they're pretty fortunate that they have Houston coming up next. And that's a good opponent to rebound against. It's a difference between a one game anomaly and the start of a new trend. And to me, I think we'll look back at this as more of a one game anomaly than the start of a new trend.
Ryan, let me ask you a question. Maybe you could tell me if I'm crazy, because I get that you're playing from behind in the second half and that the first half ends up being a disaster. But I felt like I was watching a Mike McCarthy coach team yesterday with Aaron Rodgers dropping back, and they blitzed him 17 times, and he was off all day. And then you look at the running game, and it obviously was not Aaron Jones' day. He gets 10 carries, average about a yard a carry. But you look at what A.J. Dillon was doing on just five carries. He had a six-yard average, 31 yards on just five carries. Jamal Williams, 34 yards on just four carries, rips off a 25-yard run, and then we don't see him again. Do you feel like maybe they abandoned the run? I get you're playing from behind, but do you think maybe they abandoned the run a little bit too quickly and, I mean, should have went with more of a power running game against Tampa Bay yesterday?
I don't know if you have much of a choice when you're down 28-10 at halftime. You know, to me, obviously the interceptions was the turning point of the entire game. They're up 10-0 and then it's 14-10 down in about 5 minutes, right? But another huge critical moment in that game is when the Packers were kind of on the ropes, and I made the analogy that they kind of seemed like a boxer that was dazed and just trying to get through the end of the round so they get to their corner. And they got the knockout punch with that touchdown with a minute to go in the second quarter, which made it a 28-0 second quarter, which made it 28-10 at halftime. You're down three scores then, and that just changes the game. If they could get out of that with just giving up 3 points, and instead of being down 28-10, just be down two touchdowns, 24-10, it's a big difference. The other part of that, they couldn't get much going against the Bucs' number one run defense. I mean, that defense entered yesterday giving up 58 rushing yards a game. Running it into the teeth of the league's top-ranked run defense when you're down three scores in the second half, that's not a great recipe. So I get why they did that. You know, they didn't have much of a choice. It did force them to abandon the game plan. And another big part of the game is, you know, I wonder if we learned yesterday that Tyler Irvin's one of the more important players on this team because of all the stuff he does. I mean, he doesn't show up in the box score. He's not a fancy football star.
The motion, though, on offense, I thought made a huge deal.
All those
deal,
motions,
man.
All those jet motions, I mean, they build their offense off of that. And that's where a lot of the deception comes from with what they present to defense. And they just didn't have that yesterday. So, you know, it's interesting. Matt LaFleur said that they've got to return to that and revisit that because if you lose one player, it's not supposed to fall apart the way that it did. But it really fell apart with all the without all those jet motions.
Ryan Wood joining us, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette by Ryan Wood on Twitter. The turning point of the game, as you mentioned, clearly the interceptions. Rodgers asked about it after, and whether it was the interceptions or even when they're down 14-10, he had Lewis over the middle. Whether Mercedes Lewis, you know, he's not the fastest tight end, or Rodgers missed it or whatever. Whether he is too slow, you know, he blamed it on the wind. And I know these guys, you know, Tom Brady still hasn't admitted that he didn't know it was fourth down that last Thursday night. The wind, bad practicing, you know, every time they have a loss now, it's like, oh, we didn't practice well. I just don't like to hear that. I know he's not going to say, oh, I stared down Devontae and that's why I threw an interception. But this thing where they have a bad practice and it's coming off a bye and then they walk in and it's almost like you can tell based on the body language if they're going to lose this game or not pretty early. Why does that keep happening?
You know, the most interesting thing to me is I thought they looked pretty good in the first quarter. I mean, they dominated the clock. They were up 10-0. They were getting chunk plays. When they converted a 3rd-and-7, they converted a 3rd-and-10. They had 20 yards on a 3rd-and-10. A year ago, this offense had no chance in 3rd-and-long, and they were picking them up. They looked pretty good in that first quarter, and Aaron Rodgers after the game was like, no, you know, there was no rhythm even in the first quarter. Even up 10-0, you know, all the big plays were off schedule, and they didn't feel good even then. And I mean, he would know better than I because he's on the field and he's in the actual rhythm of the game. But it looked pretty good in that first quarter, and it just seemed like everything turned on a pick six that was about the most shocking, least expected thing that you would have possibly thought you'd see when he dropped back for that pass. Because if you know anything with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw picks, right? But he never throws a pick six. I mean, there's only third pick six of his career. So, you know, I thought that was interesting that that he said that they didn't feel like they were in great rhythm even before building that 10-0 lead. You know, bottom line, they can't fall apart the way they did on both sides of the ball. Offensively, they didn't score again after that play, and defensively, it's an issue. I think this defense is better than the 2011 defense, but more and more the differences between those two defenses are growing less and less, because just like 2011, there's going to come a time when this offense isn't going to be able to carry the day. It's rare that you see one side of the ball for any team in any year have just perfection throughout an entire season and not have stumbling blocks. It's going to happen. In those moments, you need the other side of the ball to actually step up and be able to hold the water. And this defense has been asked so little through the early part of the season to do that. And any time it's been asked to do that, it's basically been unable. And that's a bad sign for this defense.
What do you give to the theory, a lot of tweets on this, calls on this, that the offense sputters because Rodgers focuses too much on getting Devontae the football? Not that they're better without him, but it disrupted the rhythm on Sunday.
You know, I don't know if that's something that we can conclude in one bad game. I think that it's possible. To me, it's just too small of a sample size to say, yes, this is definitive. They clearly struggle because he gets the ball to Devontae too much. And the reality is that he has spread the ball around quite a bit more. I mean, even early, you know, in week two, Devontae Adams wasn't getting the ball much when he was on the field after that opener, and he was spreading the ball around. And then obviously Devontae Adams had the injury and hadn't been back since the second half of that week two game against the Lions. So I think it's too early to definitively say that. I think that last year it was more of an issue. You would certainly see that throughout last season. This season, it's just haven't seen it enough.
I think that, you know, Devontae's great. He's too good. You know, he's too good. He's too good of a player. The notion that you're better without him, I think, is a wrong one. But, you know, they were looking good. I think they just played a better defense. I think they played a defense that had a cornerback that could shut him down. Packers' second option has been Aaron Jones. They had linebackers that could shut him down. You know, this deep ball thing to MVS, they don't seem to have any chemistry there. Anytime he throws it deep to MVS, either MVS isn't going to complete the route or not going to catch the football. It's clear to me they need another weapon on offense. I don't see where that weapon comes from.
Now, this is why through four games, when there was a lot of guffawing about, oh, look, they didn't need to draft a receiver in the first round. Look how great this offense was. They're scoring, they're getting a lot of yards, but just wait till they play a really good defense and see if that's an issue or not. And I think that the talent discrepancy at receiver is still very, very real. I think that what you thought of the receiving position in April, it hasn't really changed. And that doesn't mean that this team – it's not necessarily a fatal flaw. Like, this team can still win a Super Bowl. It is still very, very good. The scheme – has a lot of strengths. The quarterback, other than yesterday, has played very, very well. There's still a lot of star power on both sides of the ball, frankly. I mean, the defensive star power hasn't shown up the way that you'd expect, but it still is there. With that said, the talent discrepancy at receiver is very, very real. So it is something that they're going to have to figure out when they do go against the better defenses.
Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Appreciate your hard work. We will talk on Thursday.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're feeling a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, and you next.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.